This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
In our recent interview with John Monson, he called Egon Lass the real Indiana Jones, describing the expertise of this Milwaukee native who in over 40 years was involved in more than 50 excavations in Israel. We had Egon Lass on the program in 2006, so we dug into our archives to pull up the program, focusing on one of the more mysterious sites we've ever discussed, the cave of John the Baptist at Kibbutz Suba.
This cave is located 5 miles west of Jerusalem, 3 miles west of Ein Kerem, the birthplace of John the Baptist. It is actually out in the middle of nowhere. It is not near any site. The next site is about a kilometer away.
One of the most interesting aspects of this site that's been further investigated most recently is the fact that it originated in the Iron Age, about the 8th century BC, long before anybody had ever heard of John the Baptist, and was used for a specific purpose at that time.
Yes, it was. I can only promote the theories of Shimon Gibson. These are not my theories, but I support them. His theory is that there was a large water processing station there, apparently an industrial station for the processing of clay. There was a kind of circular channeling system where water was lifted out of this huge reservoir and led to a pool where it was levigated and cleaned. The clay was cleaned. And then the water was channeled into 2 other pools, which were settling pools, where the water was cleaned again and then led it back again into the large reservoir.
So if people can picture this in their mind, there's about 3 different pools on this side of a mountain or near the base of a mountain, and then below them is a cave that goes back into the mountain. It sounds like an industrial process used during the Iron Age, and then the area was abandoned for a number of centuries?
Yes, that is correct. And during the late Hellenistic, that is the 1st century BC, the cave itself was completely cleaned out and used as a water reservoir. The other installations on top of the cave were totally forgotten. They were not reused ever again.
Now, the interesting things about the inside of the cave, some drawings that were found on the wall that may depict John the Baptist, and also a mysterious foot impression. One of the intriguing things about this whole John the Baptist theory is that even though it seems rather far out to a lot of people, there is no other alternative explanation that make any more sense.
Well, if you take all of the facts on the ground, and they are many and varied, they all support the theories of Shimon Gibson that there is a tradition, at least in the Byzantine period, that John the Baptist worked in this cave. And actually, since the cave was built in the Iron Age, it is even more of an enigma because it was built like a mikveh, like a ritual bath. It has monumental stairs going down. These stairs are built rounded. There's no sharp corner anywhere. So it was built for barefoot people going down to bathe themselves. On the right side, when they enter the cave, there's a niche to put their clothing away so that they can go naked into the cave, bathe, and then come back out again and put other clothes on. If in the Iron Age you had a wall 3 meters into the cave and you could not go any further, that's all that there was, then it would have been a very classic mikveh, a very classic ritual bath, except that ritual baths only came in during the 2nd century BC, and this is 8th century. So perhaps we can say that this was a multi-purpose installation, which included industry, it included being a reservoir, a large reservoir of water, and it included bathing. And maybe it was even a prototype for the mikveh that came in only in the 2nd century BC.
What was going on in the 8th century that would have created a demand for this kind of an industrial site? In the political situation in Jerusalem nearby, in the Kingdom of Judea, was there a situation that created a greater demand for pottery that would have made an industrial site like this more important?
Probably not. I think people simply wanted a place where they could levigate clay
What does levigation mean?
Levigation means the cleaning of clay so that it is pure, very pure, and you can make high-grade pottery out of it. We talked to Amos Kloner, who was excavating in Maresha. He just did petrographic analysis of some of his pottery. And he said that the clays that were used in Maresha came from as far away as 15 kilometers. So there's every reason to believe that people were willing to travel several miles in order to get pure clay for their pottery. So this was nothing out of the ordinary.
One of the other mysterious aspects of this cave is at the time of John the Baptist, there were remains of enormous quantities of broken pots that were left in this cave.
Yes, and the predominating vessel was the jug, which is a very small vessel usually used to decanter wine. That is, you have a large vessel of wine which you pour into smaller vessels for serving at a table. There are just hundreds and hundreds of vessels found in this cave, which is out in the middle of nowhere. It is a very difficult thing to explain why so many of these vessels were found in a cave in the middle of nowhere. These are very small vessels. They feed into the theory promoted by Shimon Gibson that there was some kind of water ritual going on, such as baptism. And we can't forget that all of them were broken. It's very unusual to find such a number of vessels and all of them broken. And apparently after each ceremony, they broke the vessels because they did not want them used for mundane purposes such as holding wine or oil. They wanted them for that purpose only, and then they smashed them so that they would not be used for any other purpose.
If you've just joined us, our guest on today's program is Egon Lass, and we're talking about what's been called the Cave of John the Baptist, an interesting installation that has been found 5 miles west of Jerusalem. It started out as an Iron Age industrial site of some kind, and then appears to have had a cultic use later on, around the time of John the Baptist, and also in particular during the Byzantine period. And I guess one of the things that we should point out is that it may not necessarily be that this really was connected with John the Baptist, but it seems as if a few centuries later, there was a very clear connection by people who were there at that time with John the Baptist.
When you stand on the floor of the Byzantine period, then these drawings, which have been incised into the plaster of the cave, are at eye level. And what you see is one figure which has a sort of halo around the head. The right hand is raised, the left hand is holding a staff, such as a shepherd's staff. And there are notches in the garment which may indicate camel's hair. And under or between the feet, there's a hole. And we think that there may have been a relic in there which was removed at a later date. And this figure appears to be John the Baptist. Next to him, there's a hand depicted, which may be from the second martyrdom of John. In 363, pagans desecrated his grave at Sebaste and distributed his bones far and wide. And monks from Jerusalem came to gather them up. And so there are many relics now in the reliquaries of churches that bear his arm or his hand or his fingers. And that may be represented by this arm flanked by two crosses. This is on the west wall of the cave. On the east wall of the cave, there's a head, which can easily be associated with John because he was beheaded. Then there's a cross with two streamers coming off the top, which may be snakes. This was typical of a cross associated with John the Baptist. Then there are three more crosses, the meaning of which is obvious. This is Christian symbology. And then there's an enigmatic tiny little thing that may be interpreted as a dove, which might be the representing the Holy Spirit.
Is the style of these drawings similar to what's known from the Byzantine period?
They fit the iconography of the Byzantine period very well. These are quite primitive drawings. They are not Michelangelo, but they do fit into the Byzantine period, yes.
Well, as we mentioned, the latest excavation season at this cave ended just a couple of weeks ago, and you've just returned from that. What are the plans for the future for this site?
Well, Shimon Gibson has a group of volunteers lined up. The channel on top has not been excavated all the way to its end. This channel, which connects through a pier with the cave, goes straight into the mountain. And we don't know what it turns into, whether it turns into another cave, whether it stops or what, we have no idea. That is the next step to be investigated.
It sounds as if, other than that, the site has been pretty well excavated then.
It has been excavated for our purposes. We have left a substantial amount of soil of stratigraphy inside of the cave because we felt that we didn't need to excavate all of it. We want to leave something for later archaeologists who may or may not prove us wrong.
The layers of sediment in this cave are very interesting. The layers, especially during the first century, I believe you said, may help us understand some of the finer details of the changes over the decades of the first century in terms of the pottery.
Yes, this is a very carefully excavated cave. It actually begins in the first century BC, when the predominating vessel was the large jar, and then moving into the first century AD, where the predominant vessel became the jug. We carefully isolated every layer, and there were a lot of layers. There were at least six floors with intervening layers, and you have this very small space in which you can do statistical analysis and you can do detailed drawings of the changes over time. So we are going to have a good bit of microarchaeology contained within one century, and hopefully we will be able to show how things changed in that century alone and hopefully make a good contribution as to the seriation of that pottery.
Well, one of the things you said about this site is that in your experience in 40 years of archaeology in the Holy Land, you've never seen anything else like it.
I have not seen anything like it, and the more we excavate, the stranger the site becomes. People have told us to go to Beit Shemesh to compare the site. There's a huge cruciform cistern down there, or water reservoir. It is in the middle of a settlement, which is already different. It has a monumental stairway going down, but the stairway is not plastered, and I wouldn't suggest that barefoot people walk down the stairway because they might hurt themselves. So it is different in many very essential aspects from what we have in Tsuba.
In the 18 years since our interview with Egon Lass, we've heard and read little more about the cave of John the Baptist at Kibbutz Tsuba. This archaeological site just outside of Jerusalem remains one of the enduring mysteries of archaeology in Israel. For a link to a book about this cave and other resources on biblical archaeology, including breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, check out our website at radioscribe.com. That's radioscribe.com. And if you're listening on Spotify or another podcast, be sure to give us a positive review so others can learn about the book in the spade. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book in the Spade.
The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.